Hey, it's Emily, your favorite Pod Rocket producer. Did you know that Log Rocket has a TikTok now? You can catch up on all the interview clips from this show, watch UX tutorials, and get more great content from Log Rocket. You can check out the Log Rocket TikTok today at log.rocket. See you on TikTok.
Hi, and welcome to Pod Rocket, a web development podcast brought to you by Log Rocket. Log Rocket provides AI-first session replay and analytics, which surface the UX and technical issues impacting user experiences. Start understanding where your users are struggling by trying it for free at logrocket.com. Hey, everybody. I am your host today, Paige Niedringhaus. And today we are joined by Michael Chan, a software engineer and senior video educator at WorkOS. And Michael is here to talk about what you need to know and everything you can safely ignore about React 19. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey, thanks, Paige. It's good to be here.
Let's talk today about what's new with React 19. It's been out for a while. People have been trying to get into it and understand it, but there's a lot of new changes that have happened. Things have been deprecated, new stuff's been added. So just as a quick overview for everybody, can you tell us what's the new things in React 19 they should really be focusing on and some of the motivations behind these changes?
Yeah, 100%. So React 19 is actually a lot of things. And I actually made a little bit of a page on my website, chan.dev/React19. And there's a handful of like visual illustrations to get your visual mind involved in this change, because there's a lot. I think some of the headline features are like React server components and server actions. Unfortunately, at the moment, those are really only being utilized by Next. And I think Redwood has like maybe a beta, and React Router has some proposals for how they would do it. And TanStack has some ideas, but they're not things that you can actually take advantage of unless you're working on a Next app. So those types of things are like exciting, but not necessarily the most exciting pieces for React 19. There are a handful of signals that are interesting. We're really pressing into TypeScript now. There's a lot of messaging around deprecating certain older APIs in favor of TypeScript, and then embracing things like testing library to test your components from the outside in, as opposed to some of the other patterns that we've had before. The React compiler is like a separate project from React 19, but it is also, like, given the time, a very exciting project, because in the same way that Svelte is able to make your components look really nice by hiding a lot of the performance tuning into the compiler, we now have that in React. So super, even though it's independent of React 19, a really big kind of like flagship feature for this year. And then I'd say the two big changes for React are going to be, there's a lot of deprecations, or I guess not deprecations, longstanding deprecations are actually going to be removed from the APIs. And also, use action state is a new form-based API that I personally am really excited about. And we can talk about the details of that later.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you talked about was TypeScript and how React is going more towards all TypeScript all the time. So how do you see it enhancing the experience for developing React? Because I know years and years ago, Angular went all TypeScript and you just had to learn it if you were going to use Angular. But why is React finally going towards that as well?
Yeah, I actually really like the React approach, where they are coming more online to TypeScript, but it's still a JavaScript library. They have not maintained the React types, so that's like a separate project. And so they've been getting more involved in making sure that those types are correct and actually match to their vision of what the types should be, what they should mean. And so we're seeing a lot more coordination there, which means that TypeScript developers are going to get a better experience, which is very nice. But if you still just use JavaScript, it's still the same library. You just don't get those nice tab completions and things like that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on TypeScript, to be honest. I think it was like, man, maybe 8 or so years ago, I had involved TypeScript in a shared package that we were doing for work. I knew it was going to be a lot for people. And so I made the choice to only use TypeScript for places where we were using prop types, which is one of the APIs that's like going away and libraries that are going away completely in React. And I found that to be very helpful, because we were already using prop types to validate at runtime the interfaces of these things. And so people already had, okay, I'm going to put these types on these things. It was so close to TypeScript that we were able to just say like, hey, we're going to use this language. Now you get these at runtime, and this actually helps you contribute better to this like shared package. That was a huge success. And I honestly, one of my favorite things about TypeScript is really just being able to write JavaScript. And for the most part, getting better IntelliSense, a better experience overall. But I'm not going to miss prop types. Like, I really want those at development time as opposed to runtime. I feel good about this change. I'm curious, like, your thoughts on this. Where do you feel the line is? Do you still feel like we can get away with just writing JavaScript, or are we really being pushed into TypeScript?
I was late to the TypeScript party. Honestly, I probably didn't get into it until about four years ago, when I joined a new company and we just had TypeScript applications already. So I just fell into it that way. But honestly, I can't see myself going back to non-TypeScript writing now. And I speak only from the developer sense, where I've built applications that use TypeScript. I haven't tried to write a library that is TypeScript based. And I've heard that's where a lot of the pain comes, is the authors of those libraries actually have really complicated stuff. And so a lot of people have migrated back from that. But as a developer who just writes web apps and builds applications that use it, I really like it. I like the autocomplete. Yeah. I like the IntelliSense. I like being able to have an idea of what this thing is going to be. I know it's a string or an integer, and ESLint telling me that there's something wrong. So yeah, I think for the most part, I'm on board with it. There are some times when it just gets painful, but by and large, it's a really good experience, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I feel less nervous generally working in a TypeScript app, less trepidatious around making changes. And I think that's a good thing. We should feel more confident. And I buy into that part of it. I am definitely not like a type completionist. There are people out there who like really just want to do it all. That is not for me. But I think one type that I'm very excited to see them partner on with the community was they made the use reducer type significantly better, to the point that it can be like largely invisible. Like, and it was a huge pain point before. You really had to write TypeScript in order to use reducer. Now you don't, which is nice.
Not only that, use reducer is just a really confusing hook if you've never used it before or seen a real good use case for it. It's just really intimidating to even get started with.
It is. Like, I really love reducers, like just in JavaScript. I really love the array reduce is one of my favorite methods. But even so, there's so many moving pieces to it that I forget exactly what I'm doing sometimes, and like, get some weird results. And yeah, map that over just the natural complexity of React and what all the magic that it's doing for you. And it's a lot. I agree.
Another one of the things that is new or is a big change for React is that they are now endorsing testing library instead of Enzyme and Jest and things like that. So why now has testing library become the preferred solution?
Yeah, so I love what Kent did with testing library. The notion of testing your components from the outside in, I think there's like a long-standing notion of this like top-down type of approach, like test like the user uses, which is a good philosophy, I think. One of the problems with approaches in the past, this includes like Shallow Renderer and Enzyme as well, is that they encouraged you to reach into the internals or things that you knew about the application to test it. And that's just, it makes those tests fragile in case in the event that the implementation of the component changes. But then also, you're not necessarily, given the fact that we're actually building user interfaces and not just functions that perform some type of complex math or something, the interface is actually the user doing something with it. And you get a lot of really cool benefits from taking that approach. And I think that Kent did a really good job of bringing that mindset to the kind of like front end UI development, React specifically community. And I'm happy to see it because it is, I think, the correct way to test. And yeah, I think that, we've seen this also in Playwright has adopted some of those APIs as well. So I think that largely the JavaScript industry is moving towards that. And I think React is really just responding to that by getting out of the testing game at all. I think right now they only are going to provide one method, which is ACT, which is important for kind of enacting various states of your component. But that's really it. And that moves into the React library. And so it's like part of React. There's no really like testing stuff, additional testing library that they provide now, which is honestly nice.
Yeah. And I remember when I was getting into testing library, it was such a mind shift change from the way that we had been approaching it with Jest and with enzymes. Once I got it, it made total sense. But trying to just shift my view of how to do it was, that was tough at first.
So. It is. It really is. It is a like mind trip to like have a computer, try to tell a computer to do something that you just, your muscle memory does for you. Right. It's wild.
Okay. So testing library is now the preferred way. You also said that React has deprecated a lot of the older APIs, legacy context, string refs. What's the strategy behind some of these deprecations?
Yeah. So my understanding is that React is aggressively eradicating anything that fights against composition of your React components. And specifically with legacy context, this was like the original, I think this goes back to like version 13 or 14. Actually, I think that was before we even had full versions. It would be like 0.13 or 0.14, whichever version it was. This was like the first approach. And at the time, everything was class-based. And we've, over the last, I don't know, what is it, 5-7 years, we've really migrated fully away from classes. We use hooks for everything now. And hooks just completely change the nature of context, how you use it, how you like provide it. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of love lost here, because I think that those APIs were not anybody's favorite ever. Things like that. String refs, you know, again, I have always used the functional version, because I think they were optional for a while, and I just preferred the functional version. So I actually don't know what the what the perils of the other the string API are. But yeah, I think really the overarching idea is anything that makes composition more difficult, including forward ref. So that's another reason they're getting rid of forward ref. It's just going to be a prop now. Anything that fights composition is on the chopping block.
So how does this impact developers who are still maintaining older legacy applications in React? Are they still going to have access to these things, or will they eventually need to change the way that they're doing it as well?
Yeah, so that is kind of the biggest change of React 19 is all of these deprecations are like officially out. You won't have access to a lot of these APIs anymore. And I actually have the full list. I'll just go through them. We have prop types, default props, context types, get child context, string refs, create factory, the module pattern factories, and then test library stuff, unmount component at node, React DOM render, React DOM hydrate, find DOM node. Those are all gone. And so I think that this is going to be like a really interesting year as people, one, migrate their own applications, but then two, realize the number of dependencies that they may depend on that use some of these older APIs. It could be rough for a minute, and I'm hoping that we, I don't know, I have this thing that I say is anything that you install is like your code. Like, your dependencies are your code, and you have to treat them like someone else is doing like a lot of the legwork for you, but you're going to have to be involved in updating that. You may have to fork some libraries that you like depend on and like actually own that code properly for the first time in your experience, or realize that some of these things like don't actually require, you might not need them anymore. The browsers have gotten significantly better. The React's APIs have improved to the point that maybe you don't need a lot of these things that were wrapping the old, less convenient APIs that these libraries were using, et cetera. So hopefully like the main libraries will update quickly or have already been updated. But we'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of little ones that, yeah.
And there may just be some applications that are like, this is as far as we're going. We're going to stop at React 18, whatever. And we're just going to lock the dependencies and that's it.
Oh, that's so sad to think about. But you're right. I think you're totally right.
So if you had to give one piece of advice to teams that are looking to either future-proof their React applications or even just go through the upgrade process and hopefully not have everything implode on itself when they do, what would it be?
I would say get familiar with the code mods that the React team provide. I think that this upgrade could be fairly easy for a lot of people if they familiarize themselves with the code mods, run those, kind of ensure that they work. The React team has done a lot of legwork in making sure that your code can functionally migrate to React 19. Now, whether or not it all still works with React 19, that's for you to test, but they're sharing a lot of code mods that will make the transition easy for you. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing, is familiarize with those. I think also too, like while you're doing that, just identify any areas of heavy coupling in your application that maybe don't need to be there. It's so easy to depend on libraries for solutions that may be pretty simple and we just don't want to get into the weeds on. And so I would really make every dependency fight for its own life. This is a really good opportunity to reevaluate your dependencies. How about you? Do you have any thoughts for people? Like one trick?
Don't upgrade everything at once. I've done that before. I've just YOLO'd every package in a package JSON, and that usually ends with me throwing the branch away at the end. So maybe try totally. It one at a time. And I think your response of make sure every package still really needs to be there is a great one, because I have found so many old pieces of CSS or random packages that did toasts, or they did this one little thing, polyfills, whatever, that ended up not needing to be there because the browser had been supporting it for the last 2 or 3 years even. Yeah, really take a look at what you've got in there. You might not need the entire Lodash library anymore.
Are a really great place that you could pull a lot of code out, I think. Mm-hmm. And that actually reminds me, the React team has published React 18.3 and its patch releases. And that is a really great way to slowly migrate, because it still treats all of the APIs that are being removed in 19 as deprecations. And so you can do exactly like what you were saying, is not pull the whole Band-Aid off at once, do it strategically, look in the console for warnings and errors, and migrate your code piece by piece as you need.
And I guess the only other thing that I would say is figure out what it is about React 19 that your team really needs. There may not be anything, honestly, that your application is lacking. And it may be that if it's working great in 18 and everything is doing exactly what it needs to be doing and you're building the features that you need to, you might not need to switch everything over. Because we face the same kind of problem at my current job with a Next.js app. Everything is built in pages. There's miles of documentation. And moving that all over into the app router is going to take forever and just throw off our entire development cycle. We're going to stick with pages for now, because it just doesn't make sense for us to go through and try and rewrite everything and move it into the correct spaces for the URLs to work the same and everything. So just really figure out, do we need whatever the new thing is, or can we continue going with what we've got?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, man, that's such great advice to just really ask yourself, do we need to like stay up to date? And I'm like using very big finger quotes right now, because so often if a thing works and it's still supported, it doesn't make sense to migrate off of it. And I think that, yeah, as you're migrating, really now is the time, like now that we have some like hard deprecations, I think now is a really great time to evaluate your strategy, your rules, your opinions around how to code using the library in general. Because right now we have a huge signpost saying, hey, these are the things that are like trending. We're testing this way. We're like investing more in TypeScript. We're doubling down on function components versus class components. And so you have this whole list of things of even just evaluating React in your app, right? Is this still the vision that we have for the way that we want to build applications? So I feel like major versions are a really good opportunity to ask if you're still aligned with the direction that is being proposed. Because, you know, we had React 18 for, I don't know, 2.5 years or something like that. This is like the next 2.5 years of your life probably is going to be trending in this direction. So is it the direction that you want to be trending in?
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, it's been great talking to you about what's new in React that we need to focus on, what we don't really need to worry about. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on yet that you want users to definitely be aware of?
Yeah, so my favorite feature, and I've talked about this for a really long time, is use action state. So those new APIs are awesome. And I love React, but I've loved forms on the web for longer. They're like one of my favorite things. And I've always been so sad that they don't play well together. React has always advised against using implicit form state and towards using controlled components. And that's always put me at odds with the library, because I have always built my forms as just like taking the form data and doing something with it. And that is probably my favorite feature, is that React 19 really does seem to be embracing the natural grain of the web. So use action state with forms. You can do metadata inside of components, head, description. You can even load scripts asynchronously, which is super cool. You can order them. They have a ton of really cool APIs around metadata and asset loading, which is going to be huge. I think there's so many things that the web does really well that we'll actually be able to take advantage of with React, like cached SVG loading, like right inside of like a component. Like that'd be pretty sick. And so I'm really excited to see it embrace a little bit more of the natural grain of the web. It gives me hope that I don't have to choose something else to be more in line with the web platform and its growth over these last 11 years.
Yeah, for so long, all these JavaScript frameworks were built to fill in the gaps that the browsers just didn't support. And now the browsers are really coming into their own and supporting
100%
all of it out of the box.
Yeah, and it's exciting, because I think that all of us want to, like, we wish that the web was better. And like you were mentioning polyfills earlier, right? Like a lot of times these things are just bridges to the future. And there have been a lot of times where it seemed like React was a counter story to the natural evolution of the web. And seeing it on certain points is very promising to me as someone who, you know, loves React, but also just loves the web.
All right. So this is our new lightning round, where we're going to ask Michael some quick takes on some of the new things with React 19. Michael, first up, why is React 19 pushing so hard for TypeScript? And is it time for the JavaScript only developers to make the switch?
I think it might be time to make the switch, but for me, you can write a lot of JavaScript inside of a TypeScript file and not have to be a TypeScript completionist. I'm a big fan of just changing the file type and see what happens.
Nice. All right. So what are some of the biggest pain points that you foresee with the removal of the APIs in React 19?
The thing I'm most worried about is the ecosystem of existing React packages that are likely no longer maintained. So I think that's going to be a pretty big wake-up call, but a good opportunity to evaluate if you need those packages at all. There are a lot of improvements in React 19 that embrace the improvements that we've seen to the web and get you closer to the web platform. So it could be possible that this might be an opportunity to just clean house and get rid of a bunch of dependencies.
If you had to summarize why React 19 is a game changer in just a couple of sentences, how would you phrase it?
For me, it's use action state. For them to embrace web forms, like one of my favorite pieces of the internet, second only to anchor tags, that excites me. I'm super excited to see what we can do utilizing actions. And it's not dependent on framework. Obviously, it gets improvements with frameworks like Next and some of the upcoming server action availability in some of these frameworks. I said that really stupid. But anyway, you can use this just in the framework client side. It works great. You don't have to have a specific framework to use it.
And if someone was starting a new project today, what is one thing from React 19 you'd say they absolutely must use?
Okay, so I'm going to sidestep that and say React compiler. It's not specific to React 19, but the amount of wins that you're going to get from installing the compiler are going to be the greatest wins in like authoring components and performance for your users. It just wins all the way around. So even though it's not like technically React 19, I'd say that's get it installed.
Great. All right, that will wrap up our lightning round. If people want to learn more about how to upgrade to React 19, or they just want to get in touch with you and find out more about what you do, where are the best places to find you online?
Yeah, so I am Chantastic on Twitter, on YouTube. Blue Sky now is the place that's hot in the end of 2024. And then my site is chan.dev. I have resources for all of the big changes at chan.dev/React19. And I do this like dev advent called React Holiday at react.holiday every year, where I share a handful of like React resources going into the year ahead. So if you want to sign up for that, so you get a handful of emails from me, not promising how many, but they'll be React 19 migration related. So that'd be a way to find some help on that.
Nice. Thank you again for joining us. It's been great talking to you today.
Yeah, thanks. Always good to see you, Paige.